and I'm being honest. Dan was, when I came to Chicago as a rookie, Buddy Ryan didn't like rookies, and Dan didn't like them either. And so I started playing, and as I began to kind of get more and more involved in the defense, Dan was always so hard on me. So when there was a run for over 2 or 3 yards, Dan would turn around and say, "Hey, you make that play, make that play." And I said, "Hey, you make a play. How in the heck did it get to me?" This was the way we got along my whole career. So, needless to say, when I was elected, and when I got the call that I was going to be in the Hall of Fame, I sat down. True story. I sat down and I thought, you know, first I called my wife and I called my mom. And I sat down after that. And I thought, who else can I call that really, really is responsible for me being in the Hall of Fame? I sat there for a minute and I thought about all I could see. You know, sometimes in your mind when you're thinking about something, there are things that just kind of jumps out, and you don't want to look at that. You're trying to focus on something else. But I kept seeing Dan over here yelling. I'm like, wait a minute, it's been a while since we played together. But I couldn't get him out of my mind, and so, okay, fine. So I started thinking about him. And after about 10 minutes, I began to think, every time that we played, when Dan wasn't in the game, things were so much tougher for me. And I began to think about specific games that we played where normally this is a team that we would beat. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't do anything. But when Dan was not there, I'm telling you, it seemed as though I was going against 15 people on the other side of the ball. And as I thought about that, and I thought about him and what he meant to my career, I picked up the phone and I called him. And I said, "Dan." Dan said, "Yeah, boss." I said, "Dan, I want you to know something." I said, "I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all of the people that really made a difference in my career. And I said, I want you to know that you were the first teammate that I thought of. And Dan, I want to thank you for all those times that you yelled at me. I want to thank you for all the time that you pushed me and believed in me. And I want you to know that I love you and I appreciate it. And I'll be seeing you. I still don't like you, but I'll be seeing you." That's a true story. When I think about Dan, I'm going to take the three letters. Now, I would not take Dan. I've looked at defensive players ever since I've been playing, and I really study. I study guys. I just look at them, and I study them over and over, what they do when the score is 45-0 and they're on the zero side, what they do when everything's going great and when all hell breaks loose. When I look at Dan, you know, I've seen Reggie White. I've seen Too Tall Jones. I've seen Randy White. If I had a choice to make out of any defensive lineman that you put up there, this is the guy I'm going to take. And the reason I'm going to take his name, Dan, I'm going to tell you why. D stands for desire. There's no one that I know of that come Sunday, when it's time to play, there is no one that I want to be with on the field. If I'm going to start my team, it's going to be with Dan because of his desire for the game. He wants to play. Not only does he want to play, he wants to win. He wants to dominate. Dan doesn't just like to play the game. There's some guys that just like to play the game. Dan wants to win. Dan is a vicious individual. I remember one time I walked up to Dan and I was just kind of warming up and I said, Dan, you know, loosen up my shoulders. And he looked at me, boom, 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 boom. He started hitting me. I said, are you crazy? What are you doing? I'm your teammate. He said, well, don't ask me then. This guy is nuts. But his desire to play the game, his desire to win was unmatched by anyone that I know. Dan had an attitude of take no prisoners. His attitude, I mean, he hated anybody to beat us. He hated anybody. And he would challenge anyone. And then the end was just never quit. That's Dan. When I think about Dan, I remember the day that Dan would come in and he's limping. He's limping coming into the room. I can't tell you how many surgeries he had on his knees. And there were times he'd come in and he'd be mad at the world. He'd look at me. He'd come over and stand in front of my locker and say, look at my knees. I'm doing this for you. This is before the game. You know, I'm trying to get ready for the game. I'm thinking, Samurai, I'm doing this for you. Thanks, Dan. But when we went on the field, you would not know that he was hurt. I could go on about Dan. I just talked to him. I talked to him not long ago. And since I retired, we talk a lot more. And we're a lot friendlier because he knows that I love him. But it's this game of football that everybody's talking about, and so many different things have happened, and the concussions and this and that and whatever. I just have to be very honest when it comes to me. You know, football has done more for me than I will ever do for it. It's a tremendous game. And when I was growing up in Houston, Texas, you know, I'm from a large family. I'm the last of 10 kids. And also smallest of 10 kids. And that includes my sisters. I'm not joking. That's not a joke. I still have tremendous respect for my sisters. When I go home and they say, baby brother, get that. Yes, ma'am. I'm moving. But the interesting thing about being the last of 10 kids is, you know, you're always the baby. And for me, I didn't like being the baby because everybody is always telling you what to do. Everybody's telling you to do this and do that and everything that they don't want to do. And, you know, I don't really have time to get into the whole story, but, you know, when I was born, I was very sickly as a child, and the doctors told my mom that I would not really have a normal childhood life because for whatever reason, I was just very sickly, particularly the first 6 or 7 years of my life. I was in and out of the hospital all the time. And I remember my mom just praying for me. My father was a pastor, a Pentecostal pastor. And I saw my dad and I watched him be everybody else's father in the neighborhood, but his own kids. And I remember when I retired, there were two things that I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to request something. Number one, I'm asking you, even though I love it, I'm asking you not to call me the coach. Because I want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. You know, my mom and dad divorced when I was 12 years old. And it was a very difficult day. Because that same year, my brother, Grady, who was next to me in the family line, was killed in an automobile accident. And I remember thinking at that time that my world had really ended. The other thing I asked the Lord is not to call me to preach. Because of the same reason. When I look at those two things, it's ironic in my life. There are three things that are really important to me. The first is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing for me. It gives me the strength I need for everything else I do. The next most important thing is my family. I always envision so many times, so many conversations that I've had with many men. They have everything in the world, but they don't know their kids. And we sit there and weep because time goes by so fast. You know, one day you're doing this, and the next thing you know, you're looking at your kids go out of the door. In all of my life, the thing that I wanted most, I never wanted to have all of these trophies in the trophy case. I never wanted to have all of these championships. I never wanted to have all of the honors. I wanted my honors to walk. I want the people that I love most. I want the people that I know most and know me the most to look at me and be able to say, I love you and I respect you and I know you. And to me, that is the most important thing in life. Now, right now, my wife and I, we bought a house in Dallas, and we bought an older house because all of the new houses that we saw, there were big houses on little lots. And I know I'm going to have a number of grandkids, and we have seven kids. And so we wanted a house with some land. So we bought an older house, and we're doing some remodeling to the house. And my wife is trying to figure out, you know, where are we going to put the trophies, and what I've tried to get rid of all the trophies that I could. Because you know what? It's amazing. As you go through life, I can't speak for everybody. I'm only speaking for me. As you go through life and you do things, sometimes the trophies keep you in a place where you don't move because you're so busy looking at what you accomplished rather than looking at what you have left. And my mom used to always tell me, son, as long as you live, every day of your life, every day of your life, get up and know that there is a purpose for you waking up that day. What are you going to do that day to earn that day? What are you going to do that day to make it the best day of your life? So I decided a long time ago, I want to be the best that I can possibly be at whatever it is that I'm doing. I want, when it's all said and done, I want my wife to be able to look at me and say, you are the greatest man, the greatest husband, the greatest father that I've ever known. I want my kids to be able to look at me and say, Dad, I want to thank you for wearing my tail out when I was young and at the same time loving me and sitting me down and talking to me and giving me the things that I needed to make a difference in life. I want my friends to be able to say, Mike, I am better because I knew you. I want the people that I've come in contact with to be able to be proud of their relationship with me. And above all, I want my Lord and Savior to be able to say, well done. Well done. Those are the things that are important to me. My faith, my family, and football. Those three things are the only thing that are important to me. Anything outside of that, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I'm just being honest with you. Now, people will see me and say, I know you don't talk a whole lot. Oh, I talk a lot. Just depends on what you're talking about. I really do. You know, my kids, we sit around and we have so much fun. My kids go, Dad, if people outside of this house knew how you really were and how much fun you love to have and you love to dance, you love to sing, you love to, we love it. We have fun at our house. Our house is always rocking. But when I'm outside of those doors, I'm trying to be the light that God has called me to be. I'm trying to make a difference. I'm trying to make it count each and every day of my life. Now, that's all I will say about that. I will look at some of the questions that you may have.
That's very good. All right, the first thing, Mike, I'm going to say, you mentioned this kids want to see him dance today on the show with Roger and
Bruce. All right,
Bruce,
that is Mike Singletary here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and good to hear from him. We're going to take a timeout, and then, we'll come back and